This is David's Book Talk, bringing authors and book lovers together in a unique way since 2009. Visit us at davidsbooktalk.com and join the conversation at facebook.com/davidsbooktalk. But first, pull up a chair, relax, and enjoy today's episode. Here's your host, David English.
Hello and welcome to David's Book Talk, and today we have a very special guest. She's kind of a legend in the mystery field. Her name is Joan Hess, and she has written a book with Elizabeth Peters, finished the last Amelia Peabody book called The Painted Queen. It's a beautiful book, just published from William Morrow. Hello.
Hello, hello.
Hello. So this is officially going to be the last in the series?
Yes. As you know, Barbara, Elizabeth Peters.
Right.
But her real name was Barbara Mertz, died, and I agreed to finish the book that she had started, but the idea of tackling another one is well beyond me.
Right. Yeah, but you did such a great job with this one.
It was a very daunting project, because I am not an Egyptologist, and I'm not knowledgeable about Egypt in 1912. I knew the characters because I'd read all of her books and loved them, but there was an awful lot I didn't know.
So did Elizabeth Peters know you were going to finish the book for her? I mean, was that planned that far in advance?
No. No, she died. It wasn't.
Mm-hmm. She died, what, 4 years ago, was it?
I think so, yeah.
2013, I think it was.
Yeah.
So she had, well, there was no plans at that time. Well, she didn't know what was going to happen, obviously.
She didn't know what was going to happen. She and I had discussed the book. We were really good friends. So she would call me and say, what do I do about this? Just like I would call her with the same questions for my books.
So how long have you had you known her before she died?
I met her in 1986 at a mystery convention. She and Charlotte McLeod, who was another one of my very favorite authors, were standing together talking, and I was an absolute newbie, and steeled myself and walked up and introduced myself and complimented Charlotte, and then I said to Barbara, I just love your books because of the steamy tent scenes.
Mm-hmm.
She said, oh yeah, everybody always talks about the cute kid. I said, no, you get more sex in those tent scenes without saying one thing improper.
Mm-hmm.
So she thought that was hilarious. And we just became friends and closer friends and closer friends to the point where I talked to her a couple of times a week on the phone and visited every couple of months.
Isn't that extraordinary? There's certain people in your life that you just totally connect with, and you know you're going to talk to them for the rest of your life, and that's such a wonderful feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you enjoy them as much as you enjoy. And I'm sure you two had lots of laughs together.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I still can see her in her sunroom, leaning back, laughing hysterically at something. And it was just such happiness.
Yeah. And happiness for you, because you got to know her. You got to know who she was.
Mm-hmm.
Why do authors change their names like that? I mean, why do they do it?
Well, in her case, she had the Barbara Michaels series.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I forgot about those.
Those were one thing, and she wanted the Elizabeth Peters books to be recognizable as a separate line. And her daughter's name is Elizabeth, and her son's name is Peter.
Oh, that's cool. I never knew that. That's a first. I've never heard that before in all these years.
That's where she came up with it.
So which series sold better, her Barbara Michaels or Elizabeth Peters?
I think Barbara Michaels did for a long time, but then it was Elizabeth Peters.
Barbara Michaels, I recall, they were like almost like suspense thrillers?
Well, there were some paranormal sort of things, and also straight mysteries.
Mm-hmm. So there was the different stuff. So she got to write a, you know, different series. And I guess that's more of a thrill to be able to write different series. You know, you're not set into one thing. You can branch off into something else.
Right. I do two different series. I do the Claire Malloy series, which is a rather civilized series about a bookseller in a college town. Of course, every time she turns around, somebody falls over dead. Right. And that's the peril. Mm-hmm. And then I do the Maggotty series. And Maggotty is a little tiny town in the backwoods of Arkansas. And those books are a little bit more R-rated.
Now, is that the town that has like 700 people in it?
755.
755, that's close. Just like Hank Aaron, right? I don't know where that came from. It just that's a number that's associated with him, and it just hit me that they're the same numbers. Weird things come to your mind at the weirdest times, don't they?
I'm gonna have to look that up.
I think that was the home run record he broke, 755. I think, but I may have the number wrong a little bit. I don't know.
I have no idea, but I'm gonna look it up.
Obviously, you're not a baseball fan, or maybe you do like baseball a little bit.
I like baseball if I'm sitting in someone's private box.
You're very honest.
It has a wet bar.
Yeah, exactly.
And a hot dog cooker. And padded seats. Yeah, I like baseball then.
Do you drink while you write?
Yeah.
Neither do you? Nobody's going to fault you for it. I mean, everybody has a nip here and there, so we'd all have to be condemned, wouldn't we?
Well, just to lighten up a little bit.
Yeah, well, you have to.
My books are comedic.
Right.
I don't deal with any graphic blood and gore, or actually not very much graphic sex.
Nor did Elizabeth Peters when she wrote her books. Although she, how about the Barbara Michaels? Were they graphic at all?
Not at all. Not at all. And the Elizabeth Peters books, as I said, you could see the steam coming out of the tent, but there was not one word of impropriety.
Right.
Just the way she described it.
I would. Amelia's kind of, and the word I want to use is stuffy. Would you agree she's kind of stuffy?
She certainly has a mind of her own. And opinions.
Yeah.
A lot of opinions.
But she does, and the thing is, but as you read the painting, and I was reading The Painted Queen, I really enjoyed it. I really liked the characters. It's hard not to like the characters. Mm-hmm. Even though Emerson, there are times you just want to slap the man. Silly, you know.
Yeah. So does Amelia.
Exactly. But she has an amazing restraint on her. I mean, to be able to inviting people to dinner that she doesn't really like, just so she can find out things.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, that was her way. I mean, was that the way she was during the whole series? I haven't read the whole series. I've read some of them, but not all of them.
That was her spirit. And Emerson's just slapping his forehead and. She's out there getting herself into trouble.
Emerson's kind of like a control freak, to a certain
but
degree.
But a very unsuccessful control freak.
Exactly. Yeah, he doesn't end up controlling anybody at all. In fact, everybody ends up controlling him, it seems like.
the father of curses, yes.
Yeah, that's interesting that that's what people, and he has this reputation that people are afraid of. As soon as they say Father of Curses, everybody just gets real scared and they'll do whatever you want. Imagine.
Oh, and then there's Ramses, who is the son of demons,
mm-hmm.
or brother of demons, it's been a while. That's his sobriquet.
So
you pronouncing that correctly.
Am I correct that it took about 3 years to complete this book?
Yeah, that was my fault. I had some medical problems.
Mm-hmm.
I've had 5 hip surgeries and a bout with cancer, and all of that slowed me down.
But how are you doing today?
Right now, I am scheduled for yet another surgery on my hip.
Okay.
Maybe the final one.
But other than that, everything else is okay?
The cancer is under control, yes.
Oh, that's so
wonderful. I mean, it went away.
So what are your plans for the future? Are you going to continue both your series?
I need to write the next Maggotty because I left poor Arlie pregnant.
Ah.
You know, like 4 years ago. So she's really pregnant now.
I'd say very pregnant.
And I need to resolve that. I get emails from my readers pointing that out.
I feel honored because you don't do a lot of interviews. In fact, I don't think I've ever heard you interviewed.
I was on NPR once.
Oh, were you? Oh, how cool. I didn't know that.
Well, it had to do with the ethicist. Remember that?
No.
Oh, well, there was a newspaper column, but also an NPR show where he answered questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I had written a letter saying, with what I thought was an ethical dilemma, involving the fact that I paid the adults who worked for me, like the cleaning woman and the yard guy, and more than I paid the neighborhood teenagers, whom I used to carry boxes of books and things, on the grounds that what I paid them was mall money, and what I paid the adults around me was grocery money.
Mm.
So they wanted to do a phone interview, and a couple of them jumped on me.
Mm-hmm.
Said I was dictating how the adults should spend their money, and I said, no, I just give them the money, but...
So, you know. Authors are fascinating, because when I call, and I've talked to hundreds and hundreds of authors, and you never know how they're going to react to when they answer the phone, you have no idea what kind of reaction you're going to get when you tell them who you are. First of all, they don't always know who you are, and it's a scary thing. It's like stepping in quicksand. You just never know when you're going to sink down somewhere.
And, well, there are some authors who might make you hang up real quick.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And no, I'm not naming names.
I can think of one with the initials LB, LB. We won't mention anything more than that.
Oh, God, you're going to have to call me back later and tell me who that is.
I think you'll get it if you think about it for a little bit.
Okay.
Just one of the ones that I had an awfully hard time with. And there haven't been a lot that I've had a lot of. Now, you've written...
Bernstein?
No. Much more famous than that.
Okay, I'll work on it.
It's going to hit you. You're going to be like cleaning the house later on. You're going to think of it. You're like, oh my God, why didn't I think of that before? You have written, is my estimation right, 38 books? Is that right? This is like your 39?
No, I've written more than that.
Oh, it is more than that. It's 20 Claire Malloys, 16 Maggotties, and two of this one, Theo Bloomer. That's under another name, right?
Right, that's under Joan Hadley. That series didn't go anyplace.
Why is that?
I just didn't sell as well.
Mm-hmm.
It may have been I should not have used a pen name. That was my editor's idea.
Are you happy with how Claire Malloy and Maggotty sold?
Yes, and my publishers were happy, so.
And once you have a series and people look forward to the next book, that's a great feeling.
Mm-hmm. And every now and then I'll run into a fan who can quote a line from one of my books, a line that she thought was hilarious, that I thought was hilarious when I wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
So we just look at each other and both start laughing.
Well, how difficult is it to write, let's say, the Maggotty series, to remember all the little things you've done in every book? How do you remember all that?
I just wing it. I had one character who, it was pointed out to me later, died in one of the Maggotty books. She rocked herself to death on the old folks' porch. But then, two books later, she was back.
Really?
I forgot. She was dead. And she was just the perfect character for the plot, so, eh.
Your editor didn't realize it either?
No.
That's funny. And, of course, your readers, of course, who notice everything.
Yeah, those things are pointed out to me.
Are you mostly a private person, though?
Well... guess. I'm going to a couple of book signings.
Well, there you go. You're not so private anymore.
I'm going to Chicago on July 25th to sign at Centuries and Sleuths.
Oh, that's cool.
That's a neat bookstore, and Barbara's daughter, Beth, is going to join me. And we're having our research associate from Cairo, Dr. Salima Ikran, joining us by Skype.
Oh, very cool.
I think that sounds hysterical, but two live people and a computer screen.
That's the way it is today, I think.
I know. I'm not sure why I'm bothering to show up either. I could Skype.
There's it's funny you should mention that, because tonight there, at 8:30 there's a live dinner at Kate White's house, and she's going to have Lee Child and a bunch of thriller authors there.
Ooh.
And I thought, oh, that's really cool. I have to see that on Facebook. I mean, are they going to show you everything they're eating for dinner? Aren't you curious what Lee Child eats for dinner?
Yes, and his table manners.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure they're impeccable.
Yeah, Lee Child has done more for authors than I've ever seen any author do. I mean, the man is amazing.
He is great. In fact, when I was very involved with the Literacy Council in Fayetteville, Arkansas, where I lived before I moved to Austin, wrote him, and we were doing a fundraiser and asked for a contribution and a book, and he obliged.
What a man. I mean, you just want to hug the guy.
And the other person that charmed me, Alexander McCall Smith.
Oh, really?
He wrote a book that was set in Fayetteville, Arkansas.
Really? I didn't know that.
Well, because he, for some reason, met this person from the law school.
Huh.
And so I wrote him to ask for a signed copy of the book. And I got back a note from his personal assistant with a signed copy of the book.
Oh, that's really cool. Mm-hmm. Another cool. When I saw him in D.C., he was in a kilt.
Yeah, okay.
Which I guess he wears a lot of kilts to his signings, I would assume.
I bet it. Does he have bony legs?
Yeah, it's what I remember. Yeah, he did.
I'm not surprised.
But a very pleasant man. I mean, just, and you know, he's got to have a great sense of humor. I mean, how could you not, being who he is? You know, I mean, he just has to be. Don't all the Scottish have good senses of humor?
If we could understand them, we would probably appreciate them all the more.
Now let's talk about The Painted Queen. Now, this is, okay. What number is this in the series? Do you know?
No. Well, it's...
Neither do I, so we're set.
Barbara got right up to World War I. The series started in the late 19th century.
According to this, this is like the 19th one, if I'm reading correctly.
Okay. But she did not want to get into World War I, so she was doing books called The Lost Years, going back and writing about things that happened before then.
No, actually, I'm wrong. This is the 20th book in the series.
I believe you.
So that's a fitting 20, is a nice round number.
Mm-hmm.
So, and do you think Barbara would have... I call her Barbara, even though people are going to get confused.
Well, I call her Barbara.
People are going to get confused. They're going to be like, "Who are you talking about?" I really mean
Elizabeth. Elizabeth Peters.
Yeah, but I was going to say, I wonder if she now, how much of The Painted Queen had she finished before she died?
About a third of it.
Is that the first third?
Yeah.
Because I can't. I to be quite honest, I can't tell where she left off and you picked up.
That was the most flattering thing my agent said to me when he read it, is he did not see any bump. She wrote about a third. She had some notes. She wrote the last scene, and I had to move around some of the earlier scenes
mm-hmm.
a little bit, and she did not make any notes on how she was going to resolve some of this goings-on.
Mm-hmm.
So, I ended up Skyping a lot with Salima in Cairo.
Mm-hmm.
And we would talk about, well, we got to come up with a drug. What drug can we come up with? That sort of thing.
Right. Well, the little details of a book that all add up to the big details of the finished book.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you did a remarkable job. You really did.
I thought about Barbara every day.
And you still... What do you miss most about her?
Just walking into the room and seeing her laughing.
Did she laugh a lot?
She laughed a lot, and she laughed heartily.
Did she enjoy writing a lot?
Just like the rest of us, sometimes it's maddening.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's terribly frustrating, and sometimes it's highly amusing. I will write something and then sit there and laugh.
Mm-hmm.
At the line that I just wrote. And think, nobody else will get it, but I get it.
Right. Hmm. Now, had you ever been to Egypt with her?
Yes, we went to Egypt, and I cannot tell you what year it was. It was the year that they opened KV 63,
mm-hmm.
Valley of the Kings, Tomb 63. And she had contributed to the excavation. So we went over and were treated royally, stayed at the Winter Palace in Luxor, and had a driver, and went out to the Valley of the Kings, and were escorted to the excavation behind yellow tape. I thought this was so cool.
Mm.
And they had a little makeshift canvas tent. And we were served tea, and we sat and sipped tea and watched the workers coming up excavating. Well, all the tourists walked by and wondered, who the hell is that? Who are those ladies that they get to sit there?
Now, are you published in Egypt at all?
No.
So they didn't recognize your name?
No.
I mean, I'm looking at the picture on the back of the book of you sitting on a camel in black. That must have been hot in black.
I was. You can tell from my expression that I was not happy.
Well, it's hard to see because you're wearing glasses, so it's hard to see what your expression is. You don't look happy, that's for sure.
Oh, no. Well, Chuck, a friend of Barbara's, was traveling with us, and he and I took a carriage out to the pyramids. And Barbara didn't want to go see the pyramids because she had seen them plenty of times. So we took the carriage out there, and there was Abdul the camel guy. So Chuck went and got on the camel and got his picture taken. And I said, I'm not even getting out of the carriage. So Chuck wheedled me into getting out of the carriage, and he said, just go stand behind the camel, and I'll get a picture. And I said, okay. So I'm standing next to the camel, and Abdul grabbed me around the waist, put me on the saddle, and all of a sudden the camel goes up. When camels go up, they go up at 45 degrees.
Mm.
They go up that way, and then they go the other way, 45 degrees.
Mm.
So I was hanging on for dear life, and I was very annoyed. And the camel looks annoyed, too.
Now, do camels really smell that bad?
Yes.
Really? So how do you ride a camel and bear it?
I don't.
Well, you wouldn't, but I mean, how do people do it?
I presume they get used to it.
Ooh, it sounds awful. And they're not the most wonderful creatures in the world.
No, they spit and they bite, and they also go up and down as it pleases them.
Now, you weren't bitten by any.
No.
Hmm. Was Elizabeth ever bitten by any, you think?
Not that I'm aware of.
Hmm. Interesting. I wonder what would cause them to bite.
Possibly getting in range.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. They're not totally domesticated.
I mean, you never hear anybody collects camels or anything, like camel figurines. Although I'm sure there are some people that do.
But yeah, I have a few of those.
Do you?
Yes, from my trip.
So what would be, I assume you had dinner with Barbara a number of times or did a lot of mm-hmm. fun things with her. What was the most fun thing you ever did with Barbara?
Well, we used to have what we called GroucherCon, which was a gathering of close friends. There's a mystery convention every year called BoucherCon.
Right. Mm-hmm. I've been.
Well, oh, have you?
Oh, a couple times. Oh, I had so much fun at a couple of those.
Well, we had our own private GroucherCon. And this was Barbara and Charlotte McLeod, Sarah Caldwell, Patricia Moyes, Dorothy Cannell.
Oh, wow.
Margaret Maron, Sharon McCrum for a while. And we would go gather in small hotels in various places.
Yeah, I thought...
One year we went to King of Prussia.
Oh.
At my insistence, because I thought that was the stupidest name for a town that I had ever heard of.
That's 20 minutes from where I'm sitting right now.
Well, we were there.
Huh.
And we found some small hotel that tolerated us. And we sort of took over.
Well, I wish I'd have been there. I could have interviewed all of you together. That would have been fun.
It was great fun. And everybody drank a lot and flopped around and argued and just had a great time.
I don't know if you've read an author named P.J. Tracy.
No, I'm not familiar with that.
They write the Monkey Wrench series, and they're all terrific books, and there's a mother and daughter. Well, I called them, and the first time I ever met them, called them in their hotel room. I have never had more fun with an interview in my life. We just laughed hysterically the whole time. I mean, the whole time we were laughing hysterically. It was like heaven, and the mother passed away last year.
Oh.
And the daughter's picking, she's going to be doing the writing now. But, I mean, that memory will stay with me for the rest of my life because it was just fantastic. I mean, sometimes you just really bond with people.
Mm-hmm.
And
this is true.
But it's not everybody you bond with.
This is also true.
I've interviewed authors that I just wanted to reach to the phone and strangle them.
This is also true.
I haven't yet, and nor will I. But that feeling of that frustration is there, and you know it. I can tell you know what it feels like because you've experienced it yourself. I wanted to ask about Margaret Maron. I thought she'd retired, but she has a new book coming out.
Well, this may be her last book.
Really? We never really know, do we?
Well, she was saying this was going to be her last book. She might focus on short stories.
Okay.
She felt the urge to write, but you never know.
I mean, does that ever leave you, that urge to write?
Right now, I have an urge to play computer games online.
Really?
I need to start this next maggoty, but I keep thinking, well, I've got to go to Chicago next week, and I've got all these doctor's appointments and things. And
right.
So I have an excuse not to work.
But you will eventually start writing Maggie.
Yes.
Because I have a friend, and she leads our book club, and she loves that series. So I don't want to have to tell her you're not going to write the next book. She'll kill
yes.
me.
Well, we are going to resolve the pregnancy, and it may be called Marital Blues in Maggie.
Oh, really?
Well, Arlie does have a very strong love interest for the last few books.
The Painted Queen really shocked me, especially at the end. That really amazing thing that happens at the end that we can't talk about.
Yeah, that's tricky.
That was a real shock to me. I did not see that coming.
The identity thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was just... And I thought to myself, should I have seen that coming? Should I have realized that was going to... But the way you wrote it, you wouldn't even have thought that.
Good.
And I know, there's a reason I say that, but I can't even go into the reason I say that because then it'll give something away.
Yeah.
But you probably know what I'm trying to say. But just the way you wrote that character wouldn't even make you think that.
Well, good. And yes, we can't talk about it because it is sort of the revelation at the end of the book.
Well, we can say that somebody's trying to kill Amelia in this book.
Oh, heavens. Every time she turns around.
What is it about Amelia that people want to kill her?
possible because she's just too smart.
She's killable. Is that even a word, killable?
I don't think so.
I don't think it is, but it's a great word. It's a great word that should be a word that isn't a word. Why do you like to write mysteries, and why did Elizabeth Peters like to write mysteries? I mean, what is it about mysteries that really gets you?
I have always read mysteries. I was a precocious reader. I started with the Bobbsey twins and that stuff when I was about 5.
Oh, wow.
And moved on to Nancy Drew.
Oh, of course.
And the Hardy Boys and some of those things.
Couldn't get enough of those.
And we'll just go to the library and check out 10 mysteries a week.
Mm-hmm.
One of the nicest things with completing all of my college degrees was then I could read without guilt. Because I was still reading 10 mysteries a week.
Wow.
But I was needing to read other things. Yeah, so now I can just read all my friends. But mysteries intrigue me. I don't like the gory violent. I don't like kids in jeopardy or...
Right.
Any of this serial killer crap.
You know, I enjoy the serial killers to a certain extent. As long as it's a why they did it kind of thing. And I can get behind the psychology of it, but if it's just graphic violence, then it does bother me, that's for sure.
Well, for that, we can turn on the news.
Yeah, exactly. Although I must admit, I love Dexter. Dexter was something else.
I don't watch those things. No. I watch Home and Garden, Remodel Your House.
Right. Well, everybody's different. You know, you like what you like, I like what I like, and
mm-hmm.
That's why... Books are successful or they're not successful. You know, people like them or they don't like them.
Right. And everybody likes Elizabeth Peters, so they need to buy that book.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You have the most insidious laugh I've ever heard. Like you're up to something, you know, like there's something hidden behind your comment, you know.
And there may well be.
And I'm sure people have told you that, correct?
Yes.
What would people be surprised to know about you?
That I'm not as scary as I seem to be. I don't know how to say this. People find me intimidating.
And why is that?
I try very hard not to be intimidating.
Does it bother you that you are?
I don't think I am, but people assure me that I am.
Now, are you talking about fans or are you talking about fellow authors?
Or just even friends.
Really? Next door neighbors and stuff?
Yeah. I mean, I take over cookies. I invite people for dinner. I don't know.
Now, you're in Arkansas right now?
No, I'm in Austin.
Austin. Oh, so you're on the book tour.
No, I live in Austin.
You live in Austin? Okay. I, for some reason, thought you lived in Arkansas still.
No, I moved here 7 years ago and changed because that is the age of my twin grandchildren.
Oh.
And that's why I moved here.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yes, and we got a girl and a boy, which is pretty clever.
Now, they live nearby?
Well, reasonably, 10, 15 minutes.
Okay, well, that's pretty nearby. That's not bad at all.
If there's no traffic.
So how long did you live in Arkansas?
All my life until then. I lived in New York for a year. I lived in Italy for a year. But basically in Fayetteville, Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
Which is where the university is.
You make it sound like that you don't enjoy writing today. I mean, you're making it. You're saying you don't really want to go back to Maggotty. Is it just because it's a lot of work? Or once you get into it, will you enjoy it?
Yes, I will enjoy it. Right now, I've just got so many other things to deal with.
Right.
Doctors and Chicago and, in Madison, Wisconsin on August 26th.
What will that be?
Pardon?
What's August 26th?
I'm signing it, Mystery to Me, in Madison, Wisconsin.
Oh, cool.
But it just, communicating with the publicist and the bookstores and Salima and Beth and the fact that I'm having to use a wheelchair complicates things.
Right, right. Well, at least it's not a camel.
I have not found a hotel that would take a camel. Although, for Barbara's 85th birthday party, which was at her house, she has an enormous garden, had a manor house in Frederick. From Austin, Texas, I rented a camel for the party.
Did you really?
It's amazing what you can do online.
You can rent a camel online.
Yep.
Is that, I can't imagine what it would cost today to rent a camel.
I don't know, $600 or $700.
Wow.
And I think it actually came from Pennsylvania.
What? They have camels in Pennsylvania?
For birthday parties and things.
Oh my God. That's amazing to me. I don't know why.
Yeah. Well, I was real impressed with myself. And the party people were encouraged to wear costumes. So I wore a burka.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
You know what a burka is.
Yeah.
And somebody said, "How did you make that?" I said, "Well, with a pair of scissors and a stapler. It did not take long." And I just discovered that I had a drink holder inside it. My arms were covered.
The Painted Queen, what I really like about the book, like I said, is the characters and the fact that somebody's trying to kill Amelia. That just adds to the fun of the book. You know, and mm-hmm. she doesn't know where it's coming from next, which is just an amazing, you know, it just makes the book more fun to read.
It was kind of tricky to figure out how to deal with these assassins
mm-hmm.
appropriately.
And what would happen to them if they tried to kill
her? When they tried to kill her.
Right.
To make it befitting their names.
Mm. Oh, I see.
If you go back and think about it.
Yeah, exactly. There's a term you use in this book, and it's linear something or other. Linear... Oh, I can't remember the name of the term now. Linear something.
Beats me.
That I'm like, what does that term mean? I had to look it up, and I'm like, I have no idea what that means. Oh, linear ratiocination. I don't know how you say it.
Ratiocination is logic.
Logic, yeah. Stupid me didn't know that.
Oh.
No, I think I've seen the term before, but I never really knew. It's not one of those terms that it sticks in my head that I can access and say, oh, I know what that means. Not like you. I don't have a brilliant mind like you, Joan.
Oh, I wish I did.
Well, it sounds like you do. If you know that term, you know, that's a pretty tough term. I bet if you asked 100 people on the street, none of them would know what it meant.
You think? I don't know.
I'll bet you a lot of them wouldn't.
Well, as I said, I started reading at 5.
Mm-hmm.
So
you've been accessing all these things for all these years.
And I'm autodidactic. I love that word.
Autodidactic.
Which means I mispronounce words.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've only seen them written from all the books that I read.
So what series do you read today? Besides, I'm sure you read Margaret Maron, and
I read Dorothy Cannell's.
Mm-hmm.
Parnell Hall is a favorite of mine.
Is he the one that writes the puzzle books?
Yes.
Okay.
And he is also a good chum.
Mm-hmm.
Susan Rogers Cooper.
Oh, wow.
Austin.
I'm sorry, who was that last one?
Susan Rogers Cooper.
No, there was one after, you said another one after that.
I said she lives in Austin.
Oh, lives in Austin. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah. She is my BFF in Austin.
She's got a couple different series, doesn't she?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
like three.
I met her years ago, but it's been a number of years, and I'm trying to picture what she looks like, and if for some reason it's not coming to me. But I do remember how nice she was. That much I do remember.
Yes, she is very gracious.
It's rare that you meet a real jerk of an author, as far as in my experience. Of course, you have more experience with authors than I do.
Mm-hmm.
So you could tell me stories, I'm sure.
Well, one hates to mention names that might boomerang back at me for some reason.
Yeah, that's true. So you don't want to...
Although I will say, because this will not get back to me, Kinky Friedman was very rude to me.
Really? Is he still with us?
As far as I know.
You don't hear that name very often anymore.
No.
What a name, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you couldn't ask for a more fun name.
It is a good name.
It's a name you... It's kind of this name, one of those names you wish you could use for a day. And then, you know, discard it afterwards, maybe. I don't know. Maybe you'd like to have it for the rest of your life. I don't know.
Well, and then there's Tony Hillerman, who was the epitome of a gracious gentleman.
So, and everybody tells me that. Everybody I've talked to about him mentions how wonderful he was.
Yeah, we were someplace, and I went over to say hello to him, and he stood up, and I said, please sit down, and he absolutely wouldn't, because I was standing.
What a great guy.
Yeah. And?
There's just some, you know, once in a while you'll meet. And what I hate is if you meet an author and they're not what you expected and you kind of don't want to read them after that. I don't like that feeling.
And
It doesn't, I kind of felt that way. Well, I shouldn't name a name. But.
Give us a clue.
Well, and there are certain authors, she writes, every one of her titles is the name of a pub.
Oh.
I think you know who I mean.
It's not coming to mind.
And there was something about her presentation, just, and I knew I'd never read her books again. And it wasn't that she was mean or anything. It wasn't, in fact, she was like stuttering that night. People thought she was drunk. She wasn't drunk. Turned out she has an impediment, a speech impediment.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't know that. And so, you know how people are that way. They'll just assume the worst.
Yes.
And they did. And I'm sure she's a very smart lady. I've tried to get into her books. I really can't get into her books anyway, so it's not like a... Although there was one of hers I did love. I could not tell you the name of it offhand because it's been a number of years. But I know there was one I did love.
Okay, that's good.
But I think you know who I mean.
Sort of.
I mean,
I really don't read nearly as much as I used to.
Right.
Because I don't want my brain to get involved with other people's stories. When I go to sleep at night, I need to worry about my story.
Right, exactly.
My books.
And there's nothing wrong with that. That's perfectly logical. And
mm-hmm.
any author who wouldn't understand that is not a very mm-hmm. understanding author. I mean, and that's a lot of times when I talk to authors, I wonder about that. I say, well, don't you get mixed up when you read so many other authors? And somehow they're able to keep it straight in their heads. I don't know how they do it. It's an art.
Yeah, at one point.
I absolutely adore Louise Penny.
Yes.
I mean, she's had 13 novels out. I can't wait for the next one.
And she is a lovely person.
And she's been through a lot the last year or two. And she, just every one of her books is just, it's just fun for me to read. Really fun. And I don't find that with a lot of authors. Once I find a series I love, I just devour it, you know, and I'm sure you're the same way.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, and there are, and it seems like I'm picking up authors every day. There's a new, oh no, here's another one I have to start reading. And you want to do it, but you just don't have a lot of time.
True.
After a while, you're like, how many years do I have left on this planet that I have to catch up on all these books?
Well, you sound like a kid, David.
Yeah, I think I am a kid.
Well, I assure you, I'm not.
I'm that was said with so much vehemence. It really was.
Oh, I didn't mean to be.
No, it just wow. It's funny how the way you say things can mean all the difference in the world. I'm just glad I'm not a James Patterson fan. I'd be going nuts by now. I mean, he's got a book every day.
Yes, and if there's a woman in the first chapter, her life expectancy is so limited.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it's funny because he's got a little story in the New Time magazine. I'm reading it, and underneath it says, James Patterson's the author of 150 books, and I'm thinking, oh, give me a break. You really are going to print that?
Yeah.
You really expect us to believe this man wrote 150 books?
Uh-huh. Yeah. And can still manage to get out one a month.
Yeah, that just really incenses me. I'm this close to writing to Time Magazine and telling him what I think of that quote.
Yeah.
I mean, if he can come on my show and tell me that he really does write 150, he really has written 150 books, I will be shocked.
Excuse me a minute. Well, doesn't he put the pen name, the ghostwriters' names on them?
Not always. He didn't. No. He didn't with Andrew Gross in the beginning. Andrew Gross started that number series, never got his name on the books.
Mm.
So the answer is most times, but not always.
Well, and it's like
Elliot Roosevelt, yes.
Yes, when they discovered all these manuscripts in a trunk in the attic.
Mm-hmm.
After he died. How convenient. So they dragged that series on.
Which I actually enjoyed, actually.
I thought they were interesting, but I mean, let's talk about who wrote them.
Yeah.
No.
Well, same with Margaret Truman. People say she didn't.
No, they kept finding manuscripts in the attic.
Mm-hmm.
How amazing.
How many could you find in an attic? I mean, come on now.
And a good old Jessica Fletcher.
That's right. You know, one of my biggest regrets is Donald J. Sobel would not let me talk to him. He's the one who writes the Encyclopedia Brown Mysteries.
Oh.
And I grew up with those mysteries. I mean, that was what excited me when I was in elementary school. I could not wait for the next Encyclopedia Brown. I absolutely love those books. And he refused to let me do an interview with him. And to this day, I'm pretty upset with him.
Do you know why?
He just didn't want to do it. He didn't give me a reason other than no. I mean, they never tell you no because. Or they say no, usually. Or you get this nice email saying, thank you for your interest, but... God, I hate those emails. I absolutely despise any email I get like that. I don't even want to read it because I know what's coming next. You know, and to be rejected is not a pleasant thing. You know it, and I know it. Although I don't think you've gotten much rejection.
You should not quit your day job to be a writer if you can't deal with rejection.
That's true. That's true.
I wrote somewhere in the range of, at least 10 romances.
Mm-hmm.
When I first started writing, I had no intention of writing. A friend came to town, this was back in the early 80s, and said, we have to write romance novels. I said, I'd never read a romance novel. She said, but the market is very hot. So I sent my mother to the library to check some out and read like 1.5 and figured out that I had it, figured out the formula, which is, if I can say this, touch and tingle.
Hmm.
His arm brushed against hers.
Right.
She felt a tingle. And I wrote about 10 of them, and they were all rejected. I did have one publication with Harlequin. And I was ready to quit, and I had an agent at the time. And all my rejections said, good writing, interesting characters, too much plot, not enough romance.
What?
To the point where I was writing romance novels without any romance. And eventually I was writing what I considered soft porn.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still getting rejected because I didn't seem to understand the concept of romance. And this is when my agent said, why don't you write a mystery? I said, I cannot possibly write a mystery because those are real books. And I decided to give it a try. My other choice was to go back to school and get a PhD.
Uh-huh.
Well, I was going to get a PhD in special ed. So I could drive around to different schools and smoke in the car.
Hmm.
So my agent said, write a mystery. And I thought, okay, I will try this. So I wrote Strangled Prose, in which, of course, I killed off a very successful romance writer.
You have a wicked sense of revenge, you know that?
Oh, yes. Her name was Azalea Twilight.
Did you have a real-life romance author in mind when you killed them?
It's all of them.
All of them, really?
Any one of them.
Even Barbara Cartland?
I'm afraid so.
What? I mean, I guess you can understand why people would want to read romances, but, I mean, aren't they all the same a lot of times? I mean, is it...
Oh, yes. It's a real challenge. You take two available, attractive adults, put them in a position where they are immediately drawn to each other, but there is a conflict. So they have to stay out of bed till back in the early 80s, until the very end of the book.
Right.
I don't know what goes on now.
I don't think it waits that long anymore.
I've only read like 1.5 of them a long time ago.
And you can actually tell the people that write thrillers now are a lot of times ex-romance writers. So you can almost tell by the way they write that they used to do it to a certain extent, because you can feel the attraction between the two characters.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking of Tammy Hoag right now. I mean, with her, it's always that way. It seems like there's always some... Although she's gotten away from that, I think, a lot more. She's a good writer, though.
Mm-hmm.
She's a smart lady and a fun lady, too. Very, very fun. And, you know, some are better at it than others, I think. But the trick for me as a reader is finding an author that I don't get tired of. That's the trick, because there's authors that I can tell you that I've gotten tired of over the years, and I couldn't tell you why. I just found them boring. I don't find the series exciting anymore.
I had that problem with Carl Hiaasen. You know him?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Okay. I stumbled across his first book. Absolutely adored it. I don't know that it was his first book. A book.
Right.
So I got everything I could get my hands on. Well, you shouldn't read Carl Hiaasen one book after another. It's too much.
Hmm.
I mean, that level of humor begins to grate, so it's much better to read him every 3 months than it is continually.
That's interesting to hear
and
you say that.
And I still think he's hilarious.
Hmm. So it's a hard-edged humor, then?
No. He's just crazy.
And every time you see him, he's smiling.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I've ever seen the man, he's got a smile on his face.
I was on a panel with him at some ridiculous hour of the morning, like 9. And afterwards, he came up to me and he said, you were much funnier than I thought you'd be.
What?
On the panel. Well, I was really grumpy at 9 in the morning.
Right. That's hysterical.
And I think he has read my books because I catch vague little references. I may just be flattering myself.
Really? How interesting. I'll have to have him on and ask him.
No, well, if he says no, I'll be heartbroken.
Maybe you...
I won't listen. Won't hear your radio show.
I'll tell you not to listen. We don't want you disappointed, Joe.
Absolutely not.
Because if you don't write that next maggoty book, my friend's going to have a heart attack. She's looking forward to that next Matic Agony book, and she'd probably tell you herself if she were here right now. But yeah. I just remember how much she always used to talk about how much she enjoyed those books.
They're pretty outrageous.
Well, so are you.
Well, okay. Maybe.
I love that. Even as you say that, you're thinking, does she really think I'm that outrageous?
That was going through my mind, yes.
Yes. I could hear it in the way you said that. It was fascinating. I mean, yeah, you do sound like an outrageous person, but you do sound like somebody that if somebody liked you, they would be able to be your friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I can hear that also when you're... I mean, I can remember some of the first times I saw a picture of you, I used to think, oh my God, she's got to be so wild. And there's got to be... She looks crazy, you know? And yes, I did think that when I first saw you, but I've never met you, so I...
The hair was pretty crazy.
Yeah. But if it makes you happy and it's not hurting anybody, then what's bad about it? If people want to think bad things, that's on them.
Yep. And I can't do anything about that. I'm just going to have to be me.
Do you think there's authors that have avoided you because they thought you were that way?
Crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I try to be approachable. I try to be nice.
I wonder what, I would love to know what Elizabeth Peters thought of you when she first met you.
Well, we kind of bonded.
Yeah. Maybe she liked that she sensed you a little crazy. Aren't we all a little crazy?
Well, our senses of humor clicked.
Well, who had the better sense of humor, you or her, you think?
I don't believe I can answer that question.
Really? Is that close?
Well, if I say Barbara, then I have to admit she had a better sense of humor than I. And if I say I, then I have to sound like...
Well, you're being a pompous ass.
Yeah.
And we don't want that.
we amused each other no end. We had this thing called Sheep Wars that went on for years. And it's very complicated to explain how it started.
Mm-hmm.
Over a silly little nothing. But we sent each other sheep things. I have a plaster, not, I don't know what it is, garden sheep in my yard. I sent her the Gala garden flop made out of styrofoam, full-size sheep. A cookie jar that when you lifted the lid, it said, bah.
That's great.
She sent me sheep mittens. I mean, we did this for years.
Oh, that's fun. Now, see, that's just fun.
And no, but it doesn't make any sense. And
it's not supposed to. It's just supposed to be funny.
It was funny between the two of us, and yeah.
My mother, she used to walk us to school, the elementary school, and there was a cop that was right in front of the school, and mm-hmm. she grew to be very good friends with this man, and they used to write letters back and forth pretending they were famous people.
Oh.
And, I mean, my mother would get these letters in the mail, one from Cary Grant, one from... I mean, it would be a different person each time. She thought they were hysterical. I'd be like, you both are nuts.
I think that's really neat.
And she had a stack of letters that she would get one from him. And they were both married, and there was nothing going on.
Yeah.
I know that because my mom was never like that, I would swear on a stack of Bibles she would. And there was nothing, but they used to do this back, and you'd never know what the letter would say on it. And then in the letter they would like reference movies and stuff, and they had a blast doing it. She thought it was the funniest thing on earth.
It is very funny. Did you save them?
What's that?
Do you still have them?
That's a good question. My sisters might have them. I don't know. I'd have to ask them. But, God, yeah, I will ask them about that. I don't know for sure because they threw out a lot of stuff. My sisters are the throwing out kind, so it's likely they tossed them. But they made us save them just for the sentimentality of it. I don't know. But, boy, they had fun. She couldn't wait to get another letter to see what was going to be on the outside of the letter.
Oh, yes.
And see, you understand. See, now that the sheep thing doesn't seem so crazy anymore, does it?
Well, I finally ended it with a styrofoam. Styrofoam is very good to work with. Gravestone that I painted gray, and it was carved Pax Avenicus.
Huh.
Think Pax Romana.
Uh-huh.
This was Pax Avenicus with the date.
And you sent this to her?
Sure.
So
they loved it. They loved me at Mailco, especially when I sent the Gala Garden flock. There were about six of the life-size ones.
Oh, my God. But you can't ever replace that fun that you had doing that. And what kind of a reaction did you get from Elizabeth?
Hysterical laughter. Of course.
She never knew what was going to show up next.
Yeah, and she was sending me crazy stuff.
I mean, I can remember getting the mail and seeing these crazy letters from his name was Dick. And don't read into that any more than just the name.
I let that go right over my shoulder.
Even though you want to laugh, I know you want to laugh.
Mm.
But I remember
Richard is a very fine person.
I even remember his last name. It was Chatfield. Dick Chatfield. Okay. Of course, depending on the letter, he was Cary Grant or Marlon Perkins or whatever, you know. Whatever he wanted to be for that. But God, they had so much. I don't know how many years they did that. I mean, it was just, everybody must have thought they were having an affair. But they...
Back in the days when people wrote letters.
Can you imagine what his wife must have been thinking? Who is this crazy lady he keeps sending letters to? Why doesn't he send me letters?
Well, we hope that Dick explained it to his wife.
But, I mean, how do you explain the fact that you can like somebody else outside your marriage that's a woman when you're a man? I mean, it's just, people don't accept that nowadays. They just assume there's something going on.
Hmm.
You can't have a friendship with a woman anymore without people thinking that.
Hmm.
Of course, who cares what people think anymore anyway? But, you know, it's just the craziness of life is just so much fun. So you said that went on for how many years?
About 5 years.
So what made you finally stop?
I just got too crazy.
So all the sheep things that you had sent her, did she keep them all?
Yes.
And you kept all of yours?
Oh, yes.
So you've got some collectible stuff from Elizabeth Peters.
Yeah, I mean things like little plastic sheep. I've got the garden sheep, which is, I don't know what it's made of, but it's durable. It's out in my yard.
I can safely tell you, nobody, no author has ever told me anything like this before. You'll probably be the only one that ever tells me stuff like this. But I think it's funny. And is it crazy? Of course it's crazy. But it's a fun crazy, though.
Well, and writers sometimes have too much free time.
But all the laughter and the fun you got out of doing it is worth it.
Oh, yes.
Except for the male people. They must have thought, who is this woman? They must have seen you coming and, like, hid.
They got used to me, and I was a very good customer.
Like, oh, here she comes again. What's she going to have this time? You can only imagine.
Well, sometimes just a cookie jar filled, of course, with sheep-shaped cookies.
Oh, really? You would fill it with... That's so great.
With a coconut.
Well, I'm so glad you finished this Elizabeth Peters book and that we were able to talk. It's been a real treat.
Okay, it's been fun. I enjoyed it, David.
And when you finally write that Maggoty book, we'll have to talk again.
We can do that. I still have your number.
Yeah, absolutely. The wonderful. And let me just tell the people again, The Painted Queen is out. Elizabeth Peters and Jernhouse comes out July 25th in all your bookstores and with some wonderful praise on the back of it. And it is really worth reading. I really recommend it to everybody. I really enjoyed it. Thank you for doing this.
It got a star, BW.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, good for you. That's wonderful.
I thought so.
And everybody doesn't get a star on BW.
No, and if everybody buys the book, then I can go to my 50th class reunion.
Wow.
If I make the times list.
That's got to be way in the future, right?
No. Not giving me much time to lose 20 pounds.
Will you do me a favor and stay healthy?
I'm doing my best.
But still have fun.
Okay, you're right.
But don't send me any sheep anytime soon, okay?
Okay.
I won't know what to do with them.
Yeah.
And this has been David's Book Talk, and we'll talk to you next time.
You have just enjoyed the podcast of David's Book Talk, brought to you by your host, book lover David English. Please visit us at davidsbooktalk.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and subscribe to our podcast. We want to hear from you, and we don't want you to miss our upcoming shows with top authors like Mary Higgins Clark, Patricia Cornwell, Lisa Scottolini, Jackie Collins, Nelson DeMille, Michael Connelly, Sue Grafton, Steve Martini, Dale Brown, David Baldacci.